We're going to be finishing our study this morning on This is a Test. Before we get into that, let me tell you about a couple of things that are going on. If I can get my little clicker here to work. Okay, there we go. All right. As I mentioned a moment ago, we have a fellowship meal immediately after our morning worship service this morning. And I have been asked to remind everybody that if you bring in your dishes and so forth, when we finish our meal this morning, if you will take your dishes home with you afterwards. We kind of, I guess the ladies have been getting back into this situation where they're washing a lot of dishes back there. So them you have to keep from having to do that. Just please take your dishes home with you that you brought with food and wash them there so we don't have a couple of ladies having to be here to wash everything up. So please keep that in mind. Okay, on our third Sunday this month for our movie night, Brian is going to be showing this movie, Marshall the Miracle. That will be at 5 o'clock right here in the Fellowship Hall. And I understand this movie, I've not seen it yet, but I understand this is a really good movie for all ages, for everybody to enjoy. So I want to encourage you to come to that. We'll have popcorn and so forth. So please plan to come for our third Sunday movie night. And then our fourth Sunday fellowship this month, we're going to do something that we've never done before in terms of we've done the hot dog cooking, we've done the s'mores, we've never done the two of them together. So we're going to do that for our fourth Sunday fellowship this month. Keep that in mind. It'll be 5 o'clock on October the 27th. We'll have the fire pit out front out here, and we'll have some hot chocolate and the makings for s'mores. So I hope you'll plan to be here for that for our fourth Sunday fellowship time. Okay, throughout our study here, we've been talking about the fact that the Bible talks about a lot of different kinds of tests, right? And basically, with all of those different tests, there are two types. There are the tests that God gives to us, and then there are those tests that we are to give. And we've been looking at all these different types of tests and seeing what is the Bible telling us that we need to do about testing. And we talk about the trials test. In other words, that God gives to us different trials and really to test our faith and to help us to grow stronger. So we've talked about the heart test and the tithing test. So we've been looking at all these different tests that God has given to us. Understand that the purpose of all of the tests that we have is to strengthen and increase our faith. Now, again, what I've been telling you every time through all these studies, what we need to be doing as we're looking at these tests and testing ourselves, we need to be asking this question, how am I doing? Okay, in this area of my life, how am I doing? So this morning, we're going to conclude this series of lessons on tests with this one. I'm calling it the Your Own Work Test. Okay? Test your own work. My brother's keeper. In Genesis chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel both offered sacrifices to the Lord. The Lord accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he did not accept Cain's. And Cain became jealous of his brother. And so he said to his brother, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and he killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" And therein is that question that many people ask. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, people use that question today oftentimes in this way that is very callous and very indifferent towards the person that we're asking about. Where is so-and-so? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? It's not my responsibility to look after them. That's generally how people use that statement. They don't want to be responsible. They're not interested. They really just don't care. Paul, though, tells us that indeed we are our brother's keeper. Okay? In Galatians chapter 6, the text that Brian read for us as we began this morning, I want to look through this and look at what Paul is telling us, the responsibility that we have for each other. He begins by saying this, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted." So Paul, just right from the very beginning, says, yes, indeed, we are to be looking after one another from the standpoint. And understand, the context of this passage we're looking at this morning primarily has to deal with sin. Okay? Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 tells us this, "If your brother sins against you, go to him and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over." So again, the context is dealing with sinful behavior with the goal of restoring someone to faithfulness, to get them to repent, to get them to turn away from the sin that they're involved in and turn back to God. So Paul here is taking based off of what Jesus says and saying, look, we are responsible for one another from the standpoint of that if someone, notice he says someone is caught in a sin. Now, we need to understand what Paul is not telling us to do here is walk behind each other constantly and be pointing out every little thing that somebody does wrong. All right? If you want to do that, you better be careful because of the last thing that he says there. Watch yourself or you also may be tempted. Okay? This isn't a matter of going around trying to catch somebody messing up. That's not his point. He says someone is caught in a sin. In other words, think about it this way. That somebody has a sin in their life that they're struggling with. Satan knows that that's a weakness that they have, and he's got them mixed up in spiritual warfare, and they're really struggling. Okay? He says, we who are spiritual, and that involves who? Us. We-ins, us-ins, you-ins, me-ins. You see, all of us. We have a responsibility to try to help that person get uncaught. Okay, get off the hook, so to speak. Satan's got them on a hook of sin, and we need to help them to get released from that. That's our responsibility. But in doing that, again, the warning, we've got to watch ourselves, or you also may be tempted, he says. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ, he says. Again, what is the burdens that he is referring to? The context is our moral burdens, our weaknesses, our sin problems. Typically when we read this passage, this verse, people tend to think of, I got this burden that I'm carrying. I've got this thing that I've got to do, and I got this I got to do, and I've got all this stuff that's going on in my life. I need somebody to help me carry. Now, the context is sin. It's burdens of sin that we struggle with. Okay? And we are to help each other even in those sin struggles. Now, here's one of the things that we have to think about that we are not very good at. If someone is to help us with our sin struggles, they need to be able to know what that sin struggle is. Okay? We're not good at that because we typically, when we're struggling with sin, we don't want anybody to know. So we keep it all to ourselves. And that means what we're doing is we're fighting the spiritual warfare against Satan all by ourselves. Okay? We need to share those struggles with one another. Now, again, that's not where it doesn't mean we've got to come up in front of the whole church and tell about every struggle that we're having and about this sin problem that we're dealing with. I think what the best thing to do is that you have somebody, a prayer partner, someone that you can share what's going on, that you have this struggle and you're dealing with, and will you help me? Will you pray with me? Will you help me to overcome this? Somebody that you have confidence in, somebody that you can feel that trust, that you can share, and that will help you to overcome in that struggle. We need to do that with one another, and we don't do that very well. But how can I help you if I don't know what you're struggling with, is the idea here, okay? He says we carry each other's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what is he talking about? Well, it's the law that Jesus gave us to love one another, okay? Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And he says in giving this law, okay, that that's how everyone will know that we belong to Christ, is if we have love one for another. And when we bear each other's burdens, and especially those burdens of sin, then we're demonstrating the love that we have. See? We've got to be able to demonstrate that love and allow people to see Christ in us. You know, I don't know how many of you realize this or not, but I think one of the greatest demonstrations of the law of Christ being fulfilled here in this context, by the way, is the trial and the conviction and the aftermath of the trial of the police officer in Texas that killed one of our brothers in Christ. I don't know how many of you realize that Gene Botham was a brother in Christ. He's the one that was killed by the police officer that went into his apartment thinking that it was his own, or her own rather, and he was there, and she took out her gun and shot him and killed him. Well, they convicted her this past, I think it was either Thursday or Friday, I don't remember. But Gene Botham's brother asked the judge if he could give her a hug. Okay. Forgave her. And not only that, but the judge gave her a hug and a Bible.
Amen.
Okay.
Right.
That is a great example of carrying someone else's burden. Say, bearing that burden for that. You know, right or wrong, all the other issues involved in it and so on and so forth. You know, what she did was wrong, you know, and so forth. But that's something that she's got to deal with for the rest of her life. But those folks, that family, demonstrated the love of Christ to her. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about here. And that's what Paul is talking about here. It's really interesting to me that as you listen to the news reports about all, there are those people who just don't get it. And they've been very critical of the judge and of the brother. But those of us who get it, we understand it. The power in that forgiveness and bearing that burden. That's what it's all about. A great example of that. We love best when we help each other overcome. And I think that family understands that. She's got a lot to overcome. And they demonstrated the love of Christ to her. It's a great example for us as we deal with each other. Right? So, he says, brother, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Let's talk about this next part. But watch yourselves, or you also, whoa, we went too far. You also may be tempted. Well, what about this part? We're to restore gently those who are struggling with sin. But in doing so, we got to watch ourselves that we don't get caught up in sin in the process, okay? And let's how can that happen? We need to understand that. You see, first of all, we need to make sure we understand no one is above sin. Okay? The Bible tells us, Romans 3:23, how many have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? All. So who does that exclude? Nobody. We all have sinned. Every one of us. So none of us is above sin. All right? We might be tempted, think of two ways here. Number one, by the same sin that we're trying to help this person deal with. Okay? That's possible that, you know, we fall into the same trap. Or we might be tempted to look down on that person that is struggling with this particular sin, whatever it is. Think, well, boy, I'd never do anything like that. You know, kind of a thing. And, well, I sure am glad I'm not like them. You know that story that Jesus tells of the publican and the sinner? You know, the publican goes in there and he says, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like other men. You know, thinks more highly of himself than he ought. We'll talk about that in a moment. Where that other man goes in, he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's easy to get caught up in the looking down our nose at someone else. At the sin that they are involved in.
Right.
When we're doing that, we're falling into sin ourselves. See? Mm-hmm. So in answer to that question that Cain asked of God, okay, and that people ask all the time, am I my brother's keeper? The answer to that is yes, I am my brother's keeper. I have a responsibility given by God to look out for my brothers and sisters. You see, all of us do one another. We are our brother's keeper. What about him? The story in the Gospel of John, okay, where Jesus, after he rose from the grave, he met his disciples there on the beach. They were out fishing. The apostles, they're out fishing. Jesus is there on the beach, and Peter recognizes him, and he comes running up to him, and Jesus has a meal with him. And this is where Jesus has this conversation with Peter that a lot of people look at as being Jesus restoring Peter, you know, back to his rightful place in the sense of forgiving him for denying him three times, where Jesus asks Peter three different times, Peter, do you love me? Okay, and each time Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus says, well, feed my sheep. And Jesus says again, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he says, feed my lambs. And three times Jesus asked him this. And John even tells us Peter was hurt at one point that he had asked him three times. And then look at it here where Jesus says to Peter, I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Look at verse 19. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. So Jesus is, you know, restoring Peter into that relationship with him, and then telling him, Peter, I got work for you to do. I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to take care of them.
Amen.
And in that process, things are going to go badly for you in terms of your physical life. You're going to die for my sake. That's basically what he's saying here. And then here's what happens. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him. That was John, by the way, okay? And he was the one, he says, who reclined next to Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? Look at verse 21. When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about him? Okay? Lord, what about him? Do you understand what's taking place here? Jesus has just told Peter, all right, Peter, here's what's going to happen. I got all this work for you to do, and when it's all said and done, you're going to die in a way you don't want to die. And basically what's happening here is Peter looks over and he sees John over here and he says, well, Lord, what about him? In other words, you know, okay, you got me doing all this stuff. What's he going to be doing in the meantime? What about him? What's he got going on here? That's basically the gist of what's happening here, okay? And look at what Jesus says. If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?
Well,
follow me.
That's
let that sink in for just a moment. Mm-hmm. I got work for you to do. You don't worry about the work I have for somebody else to do. You take care of what I've given you to do.
Right.
You follow me. Don't worry about him. You follow me. You do what I'm telling you to do. And that's where Paul comes in verse 4, Galatians. He says, each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. That's the test. That's our own work test. In other words, you focus on doing what God has told you to do. Don't worry about what somebody else is or isn't doing over here. What God has given them to do. And isn't that a struggle that we oftentimes have in the church? Especially those who are really working and really doing a lot in the Lord's church and putting a lot of work and energy and effort in. And it's really easy to be tempted to look at others and say, what are they doing? They're not doing anything. We compare what we're having to do to what others are or aren't doing. A lot of church people have gotten real bitter. Many have quit the church because they're doing exactly what Peter was doing. I'm doing all this. What are they doing? Nothing. Okay. So Paul here is telling us, don't worry, don't be looking at what others are doing. Test your own work. And don't worry about comparing yourself to what others are or aren't doing. You do what God has told you to do. Okay? You focus on that. Look at yourself. Don't look at others when you're evaluating your life. You know, the reality is, you can always find both. You can find those who are doing more, and you can find those who are doing less. Don't worry about it. Just focus on doing what God has given you to do. Okay? It's easy to see the bad in others and not see it in ourselves. Think about that. Aren't we really good at doing that? Aren't we really good at picking out and noticing the faults of other people? When oftentimes we're doing the same thing, guilty of the same thing, and we don't see that. We need to be testing our own work here, okay? Compare yourself, in other words, to God's word, not to other people, is what Paul wants us to understand here. Don't look at other people. Don't worry about him, okay? Compare yourself to God's word and ask yourself that question we've been saying all along, how am I doing? Okay. How am I doing? The Apostle Paul, in talking about those false apostles and those who are coming along and criticizing him for what he's doing and what he's teaching, look at what he says. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. And how true is that? We go around looking and comparing ourselves with others, and we start thinking, oh boy, I got it all together, don't I? We Compare yourself to Jesus. Okay? Compare yourself to Jesus, not other people. You're always going to find those who are better and worse. You compare yourself to people. Compare yourself to Jesus. Hey, you're never going to be better than him. So you'll always see you got more work to do. Okay? And then finally, this question. And, you know, when you look at this question, how you punctuate it really makes a lot of difference, doesn't it? Okay? How you say it, what's the emphasis? You can say it, in other words, by saying, who do you think you are? Or you can say, who do you think you are? Same words, but the meaning is a lot different, isn't it? But Paul is asking us and telling us we need to pay attention to that question. Okay? Look at what he says, verse 3. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We need to be really careful about who we think we are, in other words. Okay? And we go around thinking that we got it all together and we're something when in fact we're nothing. We're blinded to who we really are. So, in other words, do we look at other people and think that we're better than they are? Especially when someone is struggling with sin. Again, that's the context of what Paul is talking about. And we look at them and the struggle they're having and we think, oh, well, I sure am glad I'm not as bad as they are. I'm much better Christian than that person. Who do you think you are? You see, if you begin to think that you are too good to sin, or too good to have that sin, you see, that someone else is struggling with, you better be careful. That's what Paul's saying here. You better be real careful. Because you may be deceiving yourself. It's a warning to us to think properly about who we are. Okay? He says to the Corinthian church in his first letter, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Again, the idea of someone who's thinking, hey, I got it made, I got it all together, I've arrived, I'm there. Well, you know what's going to happen? Satan's going to come along and go, you think you got it together? Deal with this. Because that's how Satan works. And then the last part, and some people get confused by this particular statement. He ends this part here by saying each one will carry his own load, or should. Some of your translators say each one should carry his own load. Well, is that a contradiction of what he said up in verse 2, where we're to bear one another's burdens? Now he's saying we're going to carry our own burdens, our own load? What's going on here? Well, we need to make sure we understand properly what the point is, okay? In the first part, we've already said, he tells us we have a responsibility to help one another carry the burdens that we have, especially those burdens of sin. Well, here, what he's telling us in this part is that we cannot excuse ourselves before God because someone didn't help us with our sin problems. In other words, every single one of us is responsible before God for our own life. And in that way, we've got to carry our burden. We don't get off the hook, in other words, by standing before God saying, well, God, I would overcome this sin if somebody would have helped me with it. No, that's not how it works. We are responsible for our own life. Now, it always is better, and that's part of what Paul is saying here, when we can help and encourage one another to overcome those. But ultimately, we are responsible for carrying that burden before God. Can't blame someone else, and the devil made me do it, is not a good excuse. You see? That's our burden that we are responsible for. Because all of us are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to have to give an account for the deeds done in the body. He says, whether good or bad. That's a responsibility that all of us are going to have. That is a burden, okay, a load, if you will, that every one of us has to carry. And his point here is that we cannot dump that load on someone else and say, no, I don't have to worry about it. No, because you will have to give account to God. So recognize, his point is, recognize the responsibility that you have before God. So, we must not, in other words, let what others think determine our actions. We've got to carry our own load. Okay? We must not depend on others' opinions to make us feel good. We need to carry our own load. And we must not look to people for approval. Okay? Instead, we must know who we are before God, not men. There is not a person in this room, there is not a person in your life anywhere that you are going to have to stand in judgment before, except God Himself. Okay? What does that mean? Somebody doesn't like what you're doing, you know, it's the right thing, but they don't like it, they don't approve, whatever. As long as you're doing what God wants you to do, don't worry about what they think. See? You carry your own load. You do what God wants you to do. Because it is Him and Him alone that you will answer to. Okay? Now, we're finished talking about the tests. How are you doing? Okay? How are you doing on these various tests that we've talked about? I hope that, though we're finished with this series, that you don't stop taking the tests. That you don't stop evaluating how you're doing from time to time on all of them. Okay? Because if you stop, then what happens? You forget about all these things and you lose track. We need to continue so that indeed we are rocking these tests. Okay? So how are you doing? Ray has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. We use this time for anyone to be able to come and ask for prayers or encouragement, guidance, teaching, whatever it might be that you need to help you with whatever's going on in your life. That's what family does. Okay? We have that opportunity. If something that this church can help you with, that we can serve you with, then let us know. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, and I'll be right up front to receive anyone that would like to come up here. But the other thing that we do is that we have this opportunity for anyone who's not yet a Christian. If you haven't given your life to Christ yet, you have the opportunity to do that right now. You don't have to wait for anything. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. All you got to do is come up and let me know. If there's anything that we can do to serve you this morning, it's a great time, a great opportunity for you to let us know. So come while we're standing and sing.